been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning. It is the May 3rd edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. And we have got kind of the market bouncing all over the place, but within a tight range, okay? I'm happy with yesterday's action. It wasn't down 900. It wasn't up 800. It traded in a tight range. I think we need some peace and calm, see the market settle down a little bit here. But, of course, the Fed has started their meeting today, and that could be a big market mover here. The Dow right now is up 7 points, 33,065, so pretty quiet. The NASDAQ, on the other hand, has got a little bit of lift under it, and I'm seeing some bottoming continue in that NASDAQ tech space. I thought the semiconductors looked very good yesterday. The NASDAQ's up 61, 12,597, and I believe that AMD reports after the close tonight. The S&P is now up about 13 points. Okay. That's all right. We'll take that. It's at 4,170. It did hit its low here recently on the technical support level. So did the NASDAQ. But they rebounded off of that yesterday, and the market actually closed up nicely yesterday. Crude oil down 55 cents, but it rallied into the close yesterday. And the crude oil stocks are probably the best sector here today, in particular the natural gas stocks. Gold up $8 to $18.71. The 10-year, which hit 3% yesterday, is at 2.92%. And Bitcoin down 483 to 38,414. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show on this Tuesday, May 3rd. I'm Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual firm. We have clients all across America. Our radio show is heard in many cities across America. We've got Barry Kite with us here, chartered financial analyst. He's going to come in handy Wednesday and Thursday to pick apart what the Fed's talk, right?
Yeah, Fed happy speak. Fed day number one, right? We'll find out the real news tomorrow. So
yes, and the heavy consensus is 50 basis points. But I guess, you know, a lot of it is what they say afterwards also that is very important. I was happy with the market yesterday. You know, we had a really big roller coaster ride last week. I called it the Dow Dipper. You know, last week we were down 800 one day, up 700 one day, down almost 1,000 on Friday. It was wild action, and it was good yesterday. We just needed kind of a nice, you know, not so volatile day. I thought it was a win for the market yesterday. It held support. The Dow was up 84. The NASDAQ was up 200 yesterday. Oil got clear up to $105.78 yesterday. And now today we're pretty volatile. I mean, it's all over the place right now, but it is trading in a fairly narrow range. And I would say that the biggest observation that I made yesterday was just kind of the stabilization, maybe the bottoming out of the of some of the better looking tech stocks. I thought Microsoft had a really good day yesterday. AMD had a good day yesterday, and so we'll see if we can follow on here today. And I do think there was some bargain hunting, especially in some of the higher P.E. stocks whose P.E.s have come down quite a bit recently. So you could call that, I suppose, a little bit of bargain hunting. And, you know, that's when I like to go bargain hunting, Barry, is when the very best of the best have sold out off and are at maybe not, they're not the cheapest stocks out there, but on a relative basis, they've come down quite a bit with their multiples, and we've talked about several of those recently. The QQQ touched on a 13-month low yesterday. The good news is it held. Okay, it didn't crash through that 13-month low, which we would call technical support. Instead, it bounced off of it, and you actually saw a rally late in the day yesterday. The other big news yesterday was the 10-year, for a moment, was above 3% for the first time since 2018. And, of course, that's in front of the meeting that begins today. I know they hiked rates in Australia. They've been hiking rates in Canada, 50 basis points.
Yeah, New Zealand, I think, was another one. And then the UK, I think they meet around Thursday of this week. So we'll see what happens there as well.
And I'm sure they'll probably be hiking rates too. And yesterday we heard that the predictions for mortgage rates to go over 6%. That's pretty shocking, really. We were under 3% for the longest time. We hovered right around 3% for the longest time. To be headed to over 6%, there goes your refi market. And I got to believe that takes a lot of buyers out of the real estate market. I would say the worst-looking sector yesterday, without question, the REITs just got slammed yesterday. They are interest rate sensitive, like a bond almost. Anything that pays a dividend is interest rate sensitive. But, man, Barry, the REITs just got whacked yesterday, which are real estate investment trust. And, I'm just tracking some of the inverse real estate ETFs. DRV is the one that had a huge day yesterday. That is a 3 times inverse the REIT index. And of all of the topics that are written about on Seeking Alpha, for whatever reason, the REITs are really popular. Right?
Yeah, anything dividend based or REIT based, right? Because REITs, like you said, they're going to be paying an income stream, and as interest rates go up, right, that income stream is worth less. It's like a similar to a bond.
Yeah, I don't like REITs in a rising interest rate environment, but it tells me that a lot of the readers on Seeking Alpha must be retirees. Looking for income. So, yeah, the 10-year. And I'm starting to see some quality bond offerings. I saw Constellation Brands today. I think you had to go out about, 2027. So that'd be 5 years. Above 4.5, 4.3, somewhere in there. We couldn't find anything over 4, and we didn't do any buying through that whole period of time. We just held on to what we had. But now I'm starting to see some quality companies issue bonds. They're not getting under 4% anymore. They're having to pay over 4%, which is good news for bond buyers. If you're going to hold them to maturity, well, you don't have to worry about the interest rate fluctuation. So we are shopping, we are looking, and at the same time, we have a big couple big positions that are inverse interest rates. And I think our TBT's up over 30% so far since we added it to that portfolio, which goes up when interest rates go up, and they've been going up recently for sure. Okay, the other one that stood out to me, I'll let you comment on this because it's an economic report. The ISM manufacturing hit its lowest in nearly 2 years as supply chain issues persist. You think that weighs into the Fed's decision at all here?
Well, we touched on them for a minute, I think, yesterday, where we had, you know, a handful of kind of, you know, soft reports, I would say, the PMI, I think it was not the PMI, but the, you know, you had your two manufacturing reports yesterday. Both came in a little soft. Of course, new construction came in a little soft. So you're seeing these, you know, going into the Fed's meeting. That, you know, I think that's why we were referring to kind of that 75 basis point deal is off the table. But certainly more softening in those economic reports than we've seen, you know, especially compared to the last year or so.
Yeah, I would think, you know, with some of these soft economic reports, China in lockdown, and that negative GDP print, that the Fed might tread a little bit lighter than we were expecting. Maybe they'll be a little bit kinder. Well, we'll be right back. This is the Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson and Barry Guy. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Boy, this energy sector is surging right now. I can't believe it. Wow, it has really taken off, because I can see it in our overall portfolios right now. Just a massive surge in energy. I know that OPEC reported their production yesterday, and it was lower than expected. Well, if you think about it, Russia, all those companies leaving Russia, you know, they just left the oil production. Here you go. Here's the keys. Go. Good luck with it. You know, I mean, Exxon left, several companies, the whole list of them. And all of a sudden, I mean, their production has dropped drastically in Russia. And we had a report yesterday that the production in the U.S., you'd think they'd be ramping up, but instead, it's been going the other way. It's been decreasing. And we've continued to say that we remain bullish on the energy sector. And boy, it is really, really taking off and surging here today. As I look at the S&P 500, okay, I like to do that just to see what's moving. The worst performers today are the travel stocks. They look horrible. Expedia down 12%, Hilton down 6%, Booking down 4.6%. On the upside, I would say the stock of the day, a couple of chip stocks in there. Western Digital, what's going on there? Did they report earnings
blast
today?
From the past.
That thing's up 12%. And then a chip stock, IPGP, is the biggest winner in the NASDAQ. It's up 15%, and one other chip stock here that stands out, or well, Manpower, Monolithic Power, MPWR, which we've owned in the past, it's up 9%. And then one of our stocks, Devon Energy, is a big winner today.
Yeah, they reported, I think, this morning.
And that's, you know, that's, to me, that's one of the best plays there is out there on the natural gas front. And I noticed that natural gas itself, UNG, the ETF, is up 5.6%. And then I also noticed big earnings from BP. It was up 5.7%. So that's where I want to go next, is look at some of these earnings that are coming in. This is really going to be the culmination of earnings season this week. By the end of the week, we'll have about 90% of the companies in the S&P 500 that have reported. And as I've said, I think it's the saver, really, of the market, because the sentiment got really, really sour last week. And every Friday, as I write the newsletter, I eventually get to the earnings section of the newsletter, which I consider to be the most important section of the newsletter. And with the sentiment as sour as it was last week, the earnings picture only brightened last week. So when you have a disparity between the sentiment when it's sour and the earnings look pretty good, that can create some opportunities. I am one that believes in earnings and earnings forecasts as the best indicator. It's not the MACD. It's not the relative strength. It's not the, you know, Bollinger Bands. I think in the end it comes back to earnings, and I think that's what's holding the market up and keeping it from crashing because, you know, you can't ignore some of these P.E. ratios that have gotten a lot more, you know, juicy and more tantalizing than they were before. Okay, DuPont. I think that's a member of the Dow. DuPont, they didn't have that great of a report. That has not been a very good performer over the years in the Dow. Over the last 5 years, their earnings have gone the wrong way, down about 24% over the last 5 years average. And, you know, they're in all the right things. Plastics, chemicals, agricultural products, global food, transportation, other markets. You think they'd be doing better, but this Wilmington, Delaware company has made a lot of mistakes over the years and has pretty much kind of been a stinker of a stock. It does pay a big dividend of, well, 2%. So, okay, nothing there. Let's go to the next one, BP. Which at one time, I can remember Bob Hope and being sponsored by Texaco. Right? Texaco was a big gas station chain across America, and it ended up with BP, British Petroleum, and then they renamed themselves BP PLC. They had a huge report, and look at that stock. It is up 7% today. It just shows you, you know, in 2020, it was a completely different bunch of stocks. It was Teladoc, and now it's BP. You know, you've gone from smaller, more exciting, sexier, to these big, giant conglomerates that produce the basics of life, and that continues to be a major theme here in 2022. BP comes in, beats earnings by 55 cents. They missed on revenue. They guided higher, and their dividend yield is 4.4%. So I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I would rather have a stock like this for income at 4.4% and have the chance of capital appreciation as opposed to a bond fund, for sure, because you're at the mercy of interest rates. Yes, there's more risk, you know, owning an equity than, but I don't know. A bond fund is not the safest place to be right now with the interest rate environment we're in.
And take Devon Energy. I mean, I think one of the reasons you've got some of the gas stocks prices rising today is because of the fact that, you know, Devon Energy beat on earnings, you know, they're going to stick to their shareholder return plan. So they're not, you know, they're not going to take this money to reinvest and, you know, pump a bunch more gas and oil, right? They're returning, you know, kind of sticking to that plan, returning to the shareholders, and, you know, kind of keeping a lid on supply to a certain extent. So
yeah, the pride of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Now I have a son-in-law. He's just outside of Oklahoma City there at Fort Sill, okay, fighting for us in the Army. He's an officer. His wife is out visiting us here this week from Oklahoma. The pride of Oklahoma City, Devon Energy, DVN. I like Devon because, you know, they are also a big natural gas and liquid natural gas producer. This is the hot ticket. I remember many, many years ago, I thought we were going to go that route. You know, all of the diesel trucks were going to switch over to natural gas.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We saw a lot of the public transportation buses and whatnot and state vehicles and government vehicles switch over to liquid natural gas. And it never really took hold. I guess the electric cars and whatnot But now there seems to be a massive return in interest in liquid natural gas, LNG. And we own several of the big players, especially with what's going on in Europe. All right, we'll be right back with more on the earnings front. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, Dow up 68 right now, trading in a much narrower range than what we saw last week. The NASDAQ is up about 30 right now. S&P's up 20, and by far the leading sector in the market is the energy sector. In particular, oil and gas. And even more specifically, natural gas, which also is used to make fertilizer. Okay, so we've got our fertilizer analyst with us today.
Yeah.
He's in a different room, flies buzzing around him. Nutrien, okay.
I washed my hands, don't worry.
Now, why did Nutrien miss Q1 earnings? But the stock is having a monster day today. Nutrien is up 3.8% right now.
I saw that, after hours yesterday. And you know what? I think that's a very important concept in terms of, take your tech sector right now, right? You miss on earnings. You miss on revenue. You change your guidance going forward, right? You're going to get, pummeled.
Yeah.
Right? We've seen it in a number of names. And, I think these stocks just have a much they're not priced for perfection, right? Nutrien, up on earnings. They missed earnings, but they rose their full year guidance. So, they've got less, those tech names just have much less room for error. They missed by 0.08 cents, right? Which, isn't a big miss. They actually beat on revenue. By $70 million, but you miss on if you're Netflix, right? You miss on by 8 cents,
Ooh.
Right? What happens? You're down 20-30%, right? So it's that's what comes when you've got a forward PE ratio of 6.5. You're just not going to have you've got much more leeway, which is nice when you're looking at a portfolio during earnings season.
You're cushioned by a low valuation ratio. The relative strength is like what you would have seen in a tech stock a couple of years ago. Nutrien's relative strength is 98. That means only, it's in the top 98, top 2% of all stocks out there as far as performance goes. And maybe, Barry, if you have check and see where it was when we wrote the article. You wrote the article on Nutrien. Or did we mention Nutrien? Did we actually write the article?
Yeah, we actually mentioned, I think we mentioned Nutrien and wrote about, I'll pull it up.
Might have been CF Industries that we wrote up, and it's done well too. But Nutrien now has a relative strength.
No, it actually was Nutrien. I'll pull
yeah.
it up.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And how's it done? This has got to raise our ranking there, and see. I'm sure they're wanting some more articles from us.
It's NUE. NUE. The it's where I get confused.
Yes,
the symbols are similar because NUE is the one we mentioned in the Cleveland Cliffs article,
right.
Which is also a steel maker.
Right. Okay. So where was Nutrien when we wrote the article and we bought it? I mean, we don't write articles about phantom that we have no interest in.
Yeah. Price was 59.81 at the time. Total return 75.9% on a fertilizer.
It's 103 today. And that during that same period of time, what's the S&P 500?
Up 1%.
Ah, all right.
Which is hard to imagine. I mean, the S&P is only up 1.02% total return since May 13th of 2021.
Unbelievable.
That's almost a year, by the way.
Yes. Okay, well, so. Nutrien, what can I say? The growth rate over the last 5 years, 58% per year. They had record earnings of $1.4 billion. How would you like to make earnings of $1.4 billion over the last 90 days?
Selling fertilizer.
And we know all about the fertilizer shortage. We know all about the necessity of it to grow food. And we know that many of the crops around the world are in trouble, especially in the Ukraine area. Okay, now, there's another one. And the big thing about Nutrien, even though they missed, they raised their guidance. So, as I've said many times, stocks trade on earnings and earnings guidance, expectations. And when you raise expectations, the stock's going to follow. Okay, the other one that reported, and here's another good example, they missed as they're having logistics issues at Mosaic, another fertilizer company, MOS, and that stock was down when they reported earnings, and now it's turned around and it's up 2.9%. And there's another example, relative strength of 98%. It's in the top 2% of all stocks as far as performance goes. How is the stock doing? Performance. Let's just look at Teladoc, just for fun. Teladoc's relative strength is 3. Now, this would have been about reversed a couple of years ago. That's why I believe in a little bit of active management along the way as these sectors rotate. We had a massive rotation that began a year ago, February, as interest rates started to rise. And, you know, and events in the world started taking place. So now you've got Mosaic today, which we also own. It's up 3% right now, and it's trading a big volume. So there's another example, MOS.
And CF, don't forget CF, they actually
is it
report,
trading up
they,
in
they report,
sympathy?
Yeah, they're up 1.98%, basically okay. Up 2%, and they actually report earnings tomorrow. So
okay.
Place your bets.
Well, so far, no stinkers yet in the fertilizer patch. Instead, the flowers are growing. Okay, Coterra is another one. This is one we don't own, but it's a very good energy. It's a diversified energy stock, CTRA. It's a combination of a couple of former big players in the industry. It's headquartered in Houston, Texas. These are heady days for Texas down there with, you know, the not only the beef prices what they are, but also the oil prices what they are and the natural gas prices what they are. CTRA, another very good earnings report. And, you know, another thing I notice, Coterra beats, okay, they beat earnings. They're bumping their dividend. I think most of these companies bump their dividend higher today. That's always a good thing. And they're sticking to their shareholder plans, meaning they're going to continue to buy back stock. And that just means they're healthy, right? I like to buy healthy, vibrant stocks. I'm not a contrarian buying that which is out of favor and yucky and getting clobbered. That's just not my style of investing. I don't like buying junk and stuff that's getting clobbered. Now, I wouldn't even say Warren Buffett, you may consider him a contrarian, but he doesn't buy stuff that's way... Okay, that would be like buying Netflix right now, a company that's in deep trouble and, you know, losing customers and whatnot. I just don't like to buy stuff that's not flourishing. I would rather buy things that aren't flourishing. Okay, then there's another fertilizer stock. Let's see how it's doing. Intrepid Potash, IPI. Intrepid Potash is... it's the one that's down today. No, it's up. Well, it's all over the place. It's basically flat today. It's out of Denver, Colorado. Okay, and then one other energy stock, Viper Energy. I like the symbol on this one, Venom. V-N-O-M. It's having a huge day. It's up 6.4%. It's a big player in natural gas out of Midland, Texas. The only thing I don't like about this, and I'm sure you've ran into this before, it's a limited partnership stock. And you get hit with those, what are those TAC K1s?
Yeah, you can get a K1, and then you get, and sometimes miserable. Holding it in an IRA, you get one of those, there's a weird term for it. I haven't seen it in a long time, but essentially, you get some weird reporting sometimes for holding it in an IRA. But
and that's the same, with those master MLPs, the pipelines, the master limited partnerships. Now, there's a couple of ETFs out there that own the MLPs in the ETF. That's the best way to get around having to file. Oh, man, I've had complaints earlier in my career when I buy a limited partnership stock. Oh.
Yeah. We always used to joke, it's when do you expect the K-1? The answer is always late.
Always late. And then. Oh, the CPAs hated us. Oh, never again. All right. Now, when we come back, they've got several here jumping off the page at me. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, and what's going to be a very busy week. We know that the Fed is meeting behind closed doors today. Maybe somebody will leak what the Fed is going to do. There seems to be a leak problem around government these days. Anyways, that relates to a different story. We've got AMD reporting after the close of the market today, along with several other companies. I didn't really go through the whole list. It'll be a big week of earnings with a lot of the chip makers. Last week it was more of the software, the cloud stocks. They reported very good earnings. And today, this week, it should be more of the chip makers. And their biggest struggle is the supply chain. And as far as I know, Shanghai is still locked down. This was their fifth week. And Beijing is testing very aggressively. And who knows, they could also go into a lockdown. That's about the only thing kind of keeping oil from going higher. I've seen a lot of target prices for oil out there in the 125 to 130 range. We're at 105. OPEC meets later this week. They've had falling production because of Russia. And, of course, you have Germany that could announce at any point in time. And the rest of the EU, no more Russian gas and oil. The problem is finding a replacement for it rather quickly. And one of those, one of the solutions is liquid natural gas coming from the U.S. And other areas. Well, it's not too hard to find some stocks jumping here today and really getting my attention. One area that's done well, this was one of our biggest winners yesterday, the refiners. They're in a very good spot right now because of the just the various circumstances that have all come together for them here. Valero had a big day yesterday. Today, another refiner. Oh, there's maybe six or seven refinery stocks out there that refine gas or oil into gasoline. CVR Energy stands out today out of Sugar Land, Texas. They're engaged in the refining and marketing of petroleum products in Kansas, Oklahoma, Missouri, and Texas. That's where a lot of the pipelines go to. And then, of course, from there, it's refined into gasoline. CVR is up 13.6% today. The symbol is CVI. It doesn't pay a dividend, but these are some pretty good times right now for the oil and gas refining stocks. And CVR is one of those companies with a big relative strength of 97. And the forward PE looks like it's about 14 or so. So that's one, CVI. Another one is a comparable. These aren't recommendations. These are just stocks jumping off the page at me. This is a comparable to Devon Energy. But it's not Devon Energy. It's EQT. And here's another one with a relative strength of 99. This is one that doesn't get any stronger than this. And their forward PE, they're expected to make $6.13 next year. It's at 42, so their forward PE is 7 on EQT, and there's a little bit of dividend there. They're engaged in the exploration, production, and distribution of natural gas and oil to wholesale and retail customers. So they have definitely a tilt more towards the natural gas side of things. They're headquartered in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And the symbol EQT, that's a, I'd call it a mid-cap stock, $15.8 billion. And, you know, we already own several in this area. I could easily own any of these other ones, but, you know, you can only own so many. And then the other one that is jumping off the page to me today is another one in the of the kind of the same thing, but this one's in West Virginia in the Appalachian Basin. Antero Resources, another relative strength of 99. You know, I've seen a couple other times when the energy stocks, we had a big run back in 07, 06, when oil just zoomed higher and the energy stocks were the leaders. And then they could go for a long time with being some of the worst stocks to own, one of the worst sectors to own. This is one of the best years I've seen for the energy patch in a long, long time. And if you think about it, obviously, you know, the war on drilling and pipelines and whatnot, okay, that helps them at, for now. And then you've got the situation that is going on in Ukraine. That has been a major factor. That's a major factor in the oil supply around the world, the supply side of things. So all of these factors continue to create a bullish environment. Antero Resources, AR, up 7.4%, and I think they also reported earnings today. Okay, well, this has been fun. Tomorrow, the Fed, I think we get the decision. Do we get the decision tomorrow?
Yeah, I want to say that the statement comes out around 2. I think news conference starts at 2:30, somewhere in that nature. So hold on to your, tighten up your seatbelt around 2 Eastern tomorrow. Just go
so
call
far.
I think he'll speak around 2:30.
The market's been a lot calmer than it was last week, which is some welcome relief for nervous stomachs. I can always tell. I mean, I get emails from a few people that are either subscribers or clients. Not a lot, but a few, and I can always tell when the where the anxiety level is at. And it got a little anxious. You know, the very nervous were pretty anxious this past week, and that's why I had to really analyze the stocks and the sectors before I sent out that newsletter on Saturday. If you didn't get it, you're entitled to 2 free weeks. It only goes out to the clients and subscribers, GundersonCapital.com. Well, if you're ready to talk to us, give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.